Okay, Rabbeinu Bechai, Parsha Shmos. The pasuk says, "Nezem zahav v'chalich kesem, v'chiyach chacham al ozen shomas." So a ring of gold, a beautiful golden ornament. So too is someone who gives tochacha to someone who's actually listening. So, of course, Rabbeinu Bechai says, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us here the importance of accepting rebuke. When someone tells you you're doing something wrong, instead of getting defensive, you should take it to heart and see if you can improve yourself, because that's how we improve ourselves. And he says that the main tochacha, the rebuke that should be given in the world, is for the nar, for the child, who, you know, when people are young, they can get themselves on the right path. So that's the time when you should give someone tochacha, so that they get in the habit, when they're young, of controlling their Yetzirah. And he quotes the pasuk of Choseich Shivto Sone Beno, someone who holds back their, this is a famous pasuk, someone who holds back the Shevet, someone who doesn't, it means literally the stick to hit, but it means to rebuke. So Sone Beno, they hate their child. Va'oavo, someone who loves him, Shachar Musar, they give them Musar. So the Midrash says, Choseich Sifto Sone Beno, that's David, because David, the Midrash said, did not give his sons Tochacha, and that's why some of them did not turn out well. And Oavo Shachar Musar, that was Yaakov. Yaakov gave Musar to his sons, and that's why they all turned out well. And that's his segue into Velish Mos B'nai Yisrael, that they were all tzaddikim. He just says one interesting thing, which maybe you have heard of before, just that the way to give tochacha is softly and often. You got that? So if someone's doing something wrong, don't expect them to change overnight. You have to keep reminding them to do the right thing, but always softly. And then he says that's like the famous mashal of the dripping water on a rock. Little drops of water, nicely, silently, keeps dropping on the rock. Eventually it bores a hole in it. So too, if you can keep on the tochacha nicely, keep reminding the person. Don't expect them to change overnight. Keep reminding them softly. Eventually, it'll bore through. Okay. So, the parasha talks about the Jews going down, the Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, going down to Mitzrayim. At the beginning, it says Mitzrayma. So, the Rabbeinu Chai just points out Mitzrayma actually means going to the capital city, the main Mitzrayim. But the Jewish people didn't live in the main Mitzrayim. As we know, they lived in Eretz Mitzrayim, which means the surrounding parts. The parts that, you know, like greater Egypt. I mean, if Egypt was really the main city, so Eretz Mitzrayim is like greater Egypt, you know, like Baltimore and greater Baltimore and New York City, greater New York. Anyway, so it was in the great, that's Eretz Mitzrayim, means the greater Mitzrayim area, that was Eretz Goshen. Okay, so it says, Ishu Beso Bo. So of course, a simple reading of that, Yaakov and his kids, Ishu Beso Bo means what it sounds like, it's them and the family. But also, there is also a meaning to that of Ish, refers to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, Hashem Ish Milchama, Ubeso and his Beis Dina. That is, the Shechina went down with Bnei Yisrael into Galus. So now it mentions all the children of Yaakov, and Yosef's put last. So he gives this from Pshat, why Yosef was mentioned last. One of them is, he says, because it was Derech Anivus. Like that? Because for a tzaddik, when you give them covered, they do the opposite. They make themselves even more humble, I guess, to not be affected by it. So that's why Yosef Hayyab ben Mitzrayim is all the way at the tail end there. Just to, you know, Yosef was in Egypt, you know, because Yosef was a tzaddik, so he became even more humble the more covered he got. Okay. Also, he says later on that this, the Rabbeinu Bechai says this many, many times in this week's parsha and other places, and we've mentioned it before, that the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is a remez to the final Geula we will eventually have. So it's a Maisa of a similar bonum like that. It's a remez to the eventual ultimate Geula, and it ends off with Yosef because there'll be Mashiach ben Yosef who comes before Mashiach ben David, but he helps us get out of the Galus. Interestingly, he says, if you take the Rashi Tevos of all the 12 Shvatim, so let's say Reuven is Resh, that's 200. Shimon is Shin, 300. If you count those as thousands, Reuven 200, Shimon is 300. So if you add them all together as thousands, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, not Levi. Levi's not in the count, because Levi wasn't part of the count of the 600,000. But if you count all of them, they add up to 600. So if Resh is 200,000, Shimon is 300,000, skip Levi, Yehuda 10,000, add up all the 10 Shvatim, you get to 597,000. And he says 3,000 are missing because of the 3,000 that fell in the Egel. And what about the number wasn't really 600,000 or 600,000, 3,500? I don't know the answer to that. It's really 603,000. I'm going to try to understand that completely. But anyway, I guess the general remez is to the 600,000 minus 3 for the 3,000 Jews who died in the Chet Egel. But anyway, he says it adds up to the 600,000. There is a remez there. Okay, now we have that in the Jewish people multiplied big time. They came down with 70 and left with millions. So it says, Paro v'ishr tu v'ayir b'v'yatzmo b'mod m'od v'atim aleha aretz osam. And then Paro tried to make them not grow so much by causing enslaving them and causing them tons of pain and hardship so that they wouldn't be able to have so many children. And it was knocked down, according to the Rabbeinu Bechai. That's why the Pasuk says, V'cha asher yanu oso, kein yirbe v'chein yifrotz, and knocked it down to just yirbe and yifrotz. It used to be, Paro v'yishrutzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu, you know, all that. They had the other v'yishrutzu v'yatzmu. They didn't have that anymore after Paro Sheba. Then they went down to just kein yirbe v'chein yifrotz, which is interesting. Okay, then we have the V'yarkum melech hadash al Mitzrayim. We know there's two pshatim. One is that it was a new king for real, and one is that it was the old king, and it was just Nizchad Shuk Zerusov. So if it means it's a new king, so the Rabbeinu Bechai says he thinks he was born on that day that Yosef got, that the Sar HaMashkim was put, it's the Yom Huleda says Paro, it means that was the day the Shemos Paro, the one that from the slavery, he was born on that day, not. So it was Yom Huleda says Paro, as in like the new prince was born that day. He just didn't take over till later. That's how he understands that. If it means a new king, if it means not a new king, so it's the old king from who did know Yosef. And it tells you an important lesson, as he brings Chazal say, that whoever is kofer betovaso shel chaveru sofo lichbar betovaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't recognize the good your friend does for you, you're going to stop recognizing the good Hashem does for you, as the case by Paro, if it was the same Paro. So he knew what Yosef did for him. He said, it says, Asher lo yada es Yosef. And then when Moshe comes to him later, he says similar words about Hashem. Es Hashem lo yada. I forgot the exact words of the pasuk. Mi Hashem Asher Eshmek. You know, he says the same thing. I don't know Hashem. So you just learn from there the importance of Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the good your friends do for you. And here recognizing it means treating someone appropriately based on the good they did for you. And because if you aren't Makar Tov, you're going to not be Makar Tov to Hashem. Okay, so he hires the midwives to try to kill the Jews, and they don't listen. So Paro calls them in and says, what are you doing? And they make this excuse that they already gave birth, by the time we get there. And the pasuk says, "Vayhiki ardu kiyaru hamialdos es ha'olakim," and the maidservants feared God. "Vayas lahem batim," and Hashem made for them houses, which Rashi tells us is a good thing. He made them batekuna and leviya. Rabbeinu Bechai says and brings another pshat that it does not mean good houses; it means he put them in jail. "Vayas lahem batim" means he put them in jail forever. That's what he writes. I don't know if he means it says forever. Does he mean literally forever? They didn't leave Mitzrayim. I don't know. But that's what he brings. The Yesh Shapirshu, the famous anonymous Yesh Shapirshu, says that the Batim were jail cells, and that's where they were locked up. Interesting chat. Anyway, it says that they obviously the Mitzrim threw the Jewish boys into the ocean, and he says every generation they're trying to kill us, and Hashem always ends up saving us. Okay, anyway, so Moshe is born, and it says that Yocheved saw Kitovhu. She saw Kitovhu. So he says, what do you mean Kitovhu? She says, Kitov, it was good. I don't know. He said it was good. And it says also when Basya opened up the basket when she found Moshe, it says, Vatiftach Vatirehu. Could have said Vatiftach Vatire, something like that. Anyway, he says the Hu and Vatirehu and Kitovhu. The Hu is the Shechina. That's a Lashon of the Shechina, the two letters of Hashem's name. In other words, she saw the Shekhinah with him. That's Kitov, who? That she saw the Shekhinah with him. Vativtach vatirei, who? So besides seeing him, she also saw the Shekhinah with him. Okay. And he says this was a brilliant move by Yocheved to put him in the Nile River in a basket. And the point was to fake out the astrologers of Paro. I believe somebody else, maybe the Ramban says this as well. I forgot already. Anyway, that's what he says. It was a brilliant move to put him in the basket in the river because the astrologer said they'll see that the one that they would see in their astrology was the one who was going to save the Jews, was Taka Tzona in the river. Great. Mission accomplished. That's why it was a brilliant move. This way they would see that he's in the river and they'd back off. Okay. So anyway, Basia raises Moshe in her house, and of course Moshe goes out eventually to destroy Mitzrayim from that house. And he says, so too will be in the time of Mashiach, that the Mashiach will grow up in whatever way in the house of the quote-unquote Romi. And from being within, he'll grow up and also be the one that ends up destroying it. Okay, just interesting. If you remember, that you have the story where he kills the Mitzri with the Shema Mefarash, and then Dothan Avirim get in a fight, and they say, Mitzam Chalish, Sar V'Shafet Aleinu. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, Mitzam Chalish means you are not an Ish, which means he was less than 13. That's how old Moshe was when he went out there and knew the Shema Mefarash and all that, less than 13. Anyway, so he has to run away to Midian. He goes to Yisro. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks, what did Moshe want with marrying a daughter of a Komer L'Avodah Zarah, a priest? He says, because he was running away from Egypt, and he wanted to marry, Moshe did, a daughter of a priest, because the rule was that kings didn't mess with the priests. They didn't touch their property, as we know the story of Yosef. They didn't mess with the priest. So this way, if he'd marry the daughter of a priest and convert her to Yiddishkeit, obviously, then that would work out well for him. Plus, he picked Yisro specifically because Yisro, as Rabbeinu Bechai says, had seven daughters, and they have a made-to-order shidduch crisis. Seven daughters. Oh my gosh, how are we going to get married them off? This way, they won't ask too many questions about Moshe. You look Mitzri-ish. What are you doing here? Oh, you're an escaped convict. Oh, right. This way, he knew they had a lot of daughters. They wouldn't ask too many questions because they need to marry them off. And this way, he'd be related to a priest. That's what he says. Very practical reasons. Great. And it says, again, the pasuk that the Jewish people cried out from the Avodah and says twice the word Avodah. They were in pain from the Avodah. They cried out from the Avodah. He says to teach you that Tefillah, Hashem hears Tefillah better when it's Mitoch Tzara. In other words, when a person has real full Kavanah, it's Mitoch Tzara, to connect to Hashem, that Tefillah is more Nishmas then. And it says, Vayar Elokim, let me just get the pasuk. It says, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael vayed Elokim. So what is the Tula Shonos? Rabbeinu Bechai says, Vayar Elokim, Hashem saw what there was to be seen, meaning the obvious things they were doing to the Jewish people. Vayed Elokim, God knew the things that were not to be seen. In other words, Hashem knew they were messing them over behind their back all the time, and nobody in the world knew about it except Hashem. Hashem knew both. Okay, so then Moshe goes to the burning bush. So we have three things the pasuk says he saw. He sees a fire. He sees Malach Hashem Elav. Right, he sees a Malach Hashem. And it says, Hashem saw Kisar L'Ros. And then Hashem calls out to him himself. So those are three different levels. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that's because this was Moshe's first nevuah. So you can't just jump into it. So first he saw an actual physical fire with his eyes. I'm sure this is a purified eye, but still with his eyes. There was something to see with your physical eye. Then when he reached that level, he was able to see the Malach. And after the Malach, he was able to connect to Hashem through nevuah. So, because he says, otherwise it's like being in a pitch black room for forever, and then someone opens, takes you out right into the bright sunlight, it'll kill your eyes. Same thing with the seichel. If you go, you can't jump into nevuah all the way because it's too much. Rather, you have to go in steps, and that's why Moshe had these three steps. Hashem tells him, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, that he should take off his shoes. So he's medayik in the lashon of Shal na'alecha. It doesn't say chalotz na'alecha or other types of lashon shal na'alecha. He says means remove from yourself the physicality. In other words, the shoe to the body is like very connected. So he was saying remove the chumrias from yourself. And he called him with Moshe Moshe, And that is because a couple of reasons. One of them is because the voice, the sound was so great. It's like it's as if it had an echo. That's what he says. It's as if it had an echo. I don't know if he actually kind of called the vua had an echo, but as if it had an echo, like as if he heard his name twice. And then another pshat is that he actually heard his name twice, meaning because in Nevuah, you have to give the Navi, you know, they're all, the Nevuah is obviously a very intense experience, so the first time Hashem sends their name, they can't concentrate. By the second time, then they can focus. So the image of the burning bush, there's different pshatim of what it was a remez to. The one that Rabbeinu Bechai likes the best is he says it's a remez to Paro, actually. It was the Nevuah was showing Paro, who's a super Russia, compared to a thorn bush, and he was consumed by fire, which means that the Makos and all the things that would destroy Paro, yet it would not destroy the thorn bush itself. Paro would survive because Hashem wanted him to see all the things he would do to him. Okay, and it also mentions, by the way, in this Nevuah, Rabbeinu Bechai writes that from the Medrash that Hashem appeared or was heard by Moshe. In the voice Moshe heard was his father's voice. He heard Amram's voice. That was also to calm him down because it's, again, a very intense experience of first he heard him in Amram's voice, and then it was Moshe. The Medrash says, and Moshe said, oh, Amram's alive. No, it was Hashem's voice coming that way to calm him down. Okay. And then we have fascinating Rabbeinu Chananel, where Hashem says that Hashem heard the tzakasam shamati mipnei nogzav. Hashem heard the cries of Bnei Yisrael because of their nogzim. You know, Hashem heard their cries, the lachatz, Asher Mitzrayim lochatzim osam. Gamra Isis alachatz, Asher Mitzrayim lochatzim osam. What pressure are we referring to? So Rabbeinu Bechai says a fascinating thing from the Rabbeinu Chananel, that the issue, the tzara he's referring, Hashem is referring to, is the tzara of a ghetto. That is, Bnei Yisrael came down to live in Goshen with 70 people. That's not a lot. They expanded into 1.2 million. Not 1.2 million. They expanded into 600,000 plus the women and children. So whatever that is, 2 million, 3 million. That's a lot of people. They still lived in Goshen. The Mitzrayim would not let them move out. They kept them in that ghetto. There was no room. And that was the lachat, Asher Mitzrayim lochatzim osam. Isn't that fascinating? That was part of the lachat, is that they couldn't fit and they were all smushed together. Okay, then Hashem says, Pakod Pakadati. What's the two Lashonos? I remember Pakod Pakadati. One is for Yisrael, one is for the Shechina. That they were both, obviously both leave Mitzrayim. He says that the when they would leave Mitzrayim, V'sha'Allah Yisha Mishchenta, which everybody usually translates as the people would borrow from their Egyptian friends stuff, and of course they never returned it. So he says it doesn't mean borrow. Sheila can also be a lesson of asking. They would ask as in ask to keep. They were asking their Egyptian neighbors for presents. Okay. And he says a very fascinating thing by the Derech Shloshos Yamim. I don't know that I'm sure I understand 100%, but I'll tell you what he says. Everyone asks this question, what do you mean? They would say they're going to go for 3 days. They didn't go for 3 days. And the Ran and Drush Zeran is long explanation about this, but Rabbeinu Bechai just says, very short, it's lo livroch, it was not to use 3 days to escape, but rather lachnisim b'mitzvos, to bring them into mitzvos slowly. Bring, you know, don't say so much right away. 3 days, that's it, so they can not be too much at once. Anyway, that's what he says. You could look it up, and maybe you'll see a different, understand it differently. Okay, then Hashem gave Moshe the os, the signs to show the Bnei Yisrael. One was that the stick turns into a snake, and one is that he would stick his hand into his pocket, and it turns into tzaras. So he had to do that there, even though Moshe didn't need any osos. It was to show him he had sinned by saying Lashon Hara, that the Jews would not believe that Hashem was coming to save them. But then he would do it in front of the Bnei Yisrael. What was it supposed to symbolize to Bnei Yisrael? So he says a pshat that it's referring to that Hashem gives life to the dead and can kill the live. So in other words, when Moshe was sticking his live hand into his breast pocket and it comes out full of tzaras, tzaras is nechshav kemes. So Hashem was showing him that Hashem can take life away from the living and make it dead. And the inverse, the revert, whatever. The other os, the mata that was thrown on the stick, that was a dead stick, and Hashem gave it life and turned it into a snake. So that was to show them that Hashem runs the world. And of course, changing water into blood also shows that. That's what he says. So Moshe doesn't want to go because he says he's a kvad peh. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks, why didn't Hashem just heal him? This is a question asked by many Rishonim. Also, Rana, the Rana and the Drashas Rana's long answer to this. But anyway, Rabbeinu Bechai's answer is because the reason why Hashem did not heal Moshe is because Moshe did not daven for his speech to be healed. Why did Moshe not daven for his speech to be healed? Rabbeinu Bechai says, because he didn't want to go. He didn't feel he was right for this mission, so he didn't want to daven that his mouth should be healed so he could be the one to go. He didn't want to be the one to go. He was an unav and didn't want to go. He didn't feel right. And that's why he says he didn't daven for it. Okay. So then, all right, Moshe agrees to go, and somewhere along the way, this malach comes because he didn't, give a bris milah to his son, whatever lack there was in the speed of doing it, whatever the details are. So this malach comes via vakish lahamiso. So who is this malach trying to kill? So Rashi says, was trying to swallow up Moshe. And Sipora figured out that based on how the malach was swallowing him, that it was an issue of bris milah, and she did the bris milah. So Rabbeinu Bechai thinks that's not correct, that it was the malach was trying to swallow the baby. And then why didn't Moshe, if you say it like that, why didn't Moshe do the bris milah himself? Why did Tzipora do it? So Rabbeinu Bechai says, because Moshe wasn't there. That's his understanding. Moshe had already gone. And Tzipora was on her way. You know, they had separated already. And it happened when she was by herself. That's why she did it. But he quotes it as Rashi. We don't have it on Rashi. We have it in the Ben Ezra. That Moshe was there. He was just sick. That's why he couldn't do it. Okay. So we have Moshe and Aaron, they go to Paro, and Moshe says, Ko'amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, send my nation out. Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. And Moshe's response is, Elokei Evrim Nikra Eleinu. So Rabbeinu Bechai wants to know, if he didn't know who God was, Hashem was, how's responding to him? Elokei Evrim, change that. So he says, he didn't know the Shem Yud Kei Vavke. That's what he meant, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. That's the Shem Yud Kei Vavke of Hashem. Whatever that means, Atzmuso, something like that. It's Hashem's higher, the shame, Atzmios of Hashem. And the Elokei Avivrim just means he's runs the world, Adon Ha'olam, that he had heard of. So that's what he was responding with, Elokei Avivrim. Anyway, as we know, Paro did not say they could go. Rather, he says, Lososif and Lasis Tevin La'am Lilbon Halavainim. Don't give them straw. So he says that there's an extra aleph there, the sosifun. He says because this only lasted once. He says such a pshat that this gzeira happened once. Once they didn't give them the tevin. I think he brings that from Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, then at the very end of the parsha we have Moshe says, "Lama harios, lama zeh? Why'd you do bad to this nation? You sent me." Moshe said, "Ever since I've gone, now things have gotten worse." And Mios Basi El Paro Ladabrish Mechayir Elamazah. And then Hashem says, Ata Tira, now you will see, now and not later. We know he was punished. That, like Rashi brings, that he was sounds like he was doubting Hashem. Chas v'shalom, so he was punished for that. So, which were the words that he said that were no good? Was it the Lama Harios Elamazah? Or was it the Mios Basi El Paro Ladabrish Mechah? So Rabbeinu Bechai says, the Avera was not saying Lama Harios Lama Zeh. That was okay. That was for two reasons. One is, it has to be because Moshe says this again, later on in history, by the misonym. He says, Lama Harios Avdecha, and he says the same Lashon again. If it was an Avera, he wouldn't have done it twice, if you certainly. And secondly, he says, it's just showing that Hashem saying, I know you are the one who did this, it's not Paro, it comes from you. So there's no Avera in saying that. The Avera was Mi'oz Basi El Paro L'Dabrish Mecha Hira La'amazah. That was the Avera, because it sounds like he was doubting him. And the proof to this is, he says that when Moshe said Az Yashir, the Medrash says that was the Takana, Tikkun rather, you know, for the Avera he didn't. He said Mi'oz Basi, so he was singing Tim Shira with Az Yashir. So that's showing that was the Avera, the Az Basi. And he just points out at the end that, like he said, that this whole story of Geulas Mitzrayim is a remez to our future gullus from our current gullus. And therefore, he says, also, just like you see in the times of Mitzrayim, the Geula looked like it was about to happen. It started happening, but then it stopped, and then later it restarted. So, too, will be with Mashiach, that it'll be Nira, Nichsev, and Nira. It'll be the Geula, or the Goel, and then stop, then start again. And we should see the Geula b'mheirah v'yameinu.